All right, let's look at Galatians, please, in Galatians chapter 3. That's where we've been centering around. Galatians chapter 3. Praise God. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Know ye, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
So you're a child of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are what? Blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. Amen. Now we're calling this the Kingdom Families Volume 2, Part 3. Glory to God. It's really living in the supernatural, and the subtitle is Kingdom Families. All right, we started off here. We're talking about marriage and talking about the family and talking about children. We're going to cover all of those because there's some things I think that we hadn't known, and because we hadn't known them, the enemy was able to get in and work some things perhaps against us, or try to do some things in our household or in our lives that shouldn't have happened. But now we're going to fortify you with the Word of God. And as we look at this, I'd like today to go back to this foundation that we talked about here on the foundation of the family. So let's go back to Psalm chapter 11, please. Now, remember what I said, that the idea about it, if you have the Word of God, you have the power of God. You have the Word of God comes with virtue. We have, that means that there's miracle working power in every word that God speaks. No word of God is void of power. That's what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. That's another translation of that verse. So as we look at this, here's what he says here in Psalm chapter 11, verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Wow. If the foundation be destroyed. So what we said is the enemy has been after that foundation. So we looked at the life of Adam and Eve. So as we looked at that, we're talking about going back to the foundation and finding out perhaps maybe there had been some things that have been perverted in terms of the family or our teachings about men or women and so forth. And maybe we're not operating on the foundational truth of the Word of God, because that is what God's going to back, His truth. And so if we look at that, let's go back to Genesis, if you will, and look at Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, he says this in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Look at the next verse, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God's plan was not only to make a male, but to make a female. God's plan was to make man and make them in the side of male and the side of female and place them in the earth. That was his plan. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, on every living thing that moveth upon this earth. So he spoke the blessing. Come on down to chapter 2. Look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the living soul translates speaking spirit, like God. And so God basically duplicated himself as he was making man. So we talk about this man and woman, we're talking about a duplicate of God. Now what we said is that over in, put something right there please, and let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, what we said is this is the same revelation that the Apostle Paul taught to the church. Now put it in the church, he was teaching the church of Ephesus this, but it's for all the body of Christ. Look what it says here. It says, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. I ask you to underline own. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Now, notice what he's doing. He seemed to be making a comparison there between the body of Christ, meaning Christ and the church, and a man and a woman, or husband and wife. So he seems here to say, for as the husband is head of the wife, underline head. Now that's key because the enemy is after headship. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Now, I'm asking you to just, if you got any rocks, just put them down till I get done here, okay? All right, look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water of the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. All right, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, please. All right, so now we see here in verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. Underline man, okay, and underline formed, okay? So when we talk about form, the word form comes from a Hebrew word, Y-A-T-S-A-R. R as in Romeo. Yetsar. And it means to mold, just like a potter would mold clay. All right? Now, I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit. So if you look here, and we see in verse 21 of that, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and I told you what that was in Hebrew, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. Now notice what it said here, verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. All right, now that is not formed. That is made. And that word made has to do with constructed or built. It comes from the Hebrew word B as in Bravo, A-M-A-H as in hotel, Bama. And it has to do with built. That's why I told you that sometimes men make a comment, boy, she sure is built, isn't she? And because he used a different method in making her. He used a different method in making her. Now, this is interesting because she was coming out of Adam, and it says, verse 23, and Adam said, she is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, this is key because she was made of the same substance as the man. But she being just like him, but was the complement of his nature. She became his wife. In other words, there is a union here of a complement of two people. One is a man with a womb, okay? A wombed man. And he built her like this because she was to be the receiver. And man, the male man, is the giver. She's a receiver, he's a giver. Now, God fashioned this woman to be the receiver. Okay? One, so that she can bear children. So let's look at it this way. Let's take a little step further. He's a sender. He has a seed. He sends the seed to the woman. The woman takes the seed, incubates it, and gives him back a baby. Got it? So the message there, if you don't want something back, don't give it. No. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. All right, now, this is key. Let's work ourselves on down here. All right, so let's go in verse 15. And the Lord God took them out, chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely do what?
Die.
Or shalt surely die. All right, now, here's what God did. God then now gives this man the plan for the earth. In other words, he gave this man what plans he planned to have in this earth, and he gave him this plan before the woman came on the scene. Okay, that's key for you, because the female had not come yet, and God gave Adam this plan. Now, before he put him in the garden, God gave Adam himself, or he was fellowshipping with Adam. Lord have mercy. Let me make sure I get this thing right. Mankind, men, are responsible for leading. God went to the dirt once. Why? Because man was the foundation, or is the foundation. And the quality of a foundation determines the degree of stability. So God placed mankind in this foundation, and a foundation of something is usually measured, the quality of it, by how much weight it can hold. All right? So God built in man this ability to hold this weight. Now, he didn't put that in woman, he put it in a man. Now, listen, don't argue with me. I'm just going to take you through the scriptures. And then if you got something to say about it, go home and talk with God. God made the man first. Not that he's more important, but he made him because of his purpose. That his purpose was going to be to supply the foundation for the human race. And God begins to build the human race with a male man at the bottom of the building. So now God built in that man a need for his presence. That no matter whether this man, what he's going through, whether he's fighting, abusing, whether he's cussing, drinking, and drunk, and whatever have you, deep down inside, every man is looking for God. Now hold yourself right there. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. I don't care who he is. How rich, how poor. Doesn't make any difference. Now look what it says. Verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. This is the Apostle Paul. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I've delivered them to you. But I'd have you know that the head of every man is who? Christ. And the head of the woman is who? The man. And the head of Christ is who? God. So now it seems like here I've got a chain of command. That's what we used to call it in the military. Now notice what he said. The head of every man is who? Christ. So I told you that every man is looking for Christ. Everyone. Now, society, what we said, is going to be only as strong as its foundation. And we told you that the foundation of the family is the man, or foundation of society is still the man. So they've expanded that to a broader sense that the foundation of the society is the family. No, that's not true. They just told you what the sound foundation was. All right? And Jesus said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that no other foundation can any man lay that's been already laid. So it's been already laid. So you can't change that. Now, the head of the woman is the man. So notice the and every, those two different words. So the woman is a man. So no other man's ahead of my wife. Okay? Now, when I say head, I'm not trying to give somebody license to boss somebody. See, because that's what, you got to watch this, because the enemy will try to get you to conjure up thoughts based on what you've experienced. You got to let that go, because that's the devil. He's trying to make you negate the truth that God's going to give you here. All right? Okay, now, so we got to make sure we have a good foundation. And each one of them were made according to what their purpose or their specific responsibilities would be. So God made them that way. Now, this idea of head is what the devil was after. He's after the head. Authority is God's plan to protect his people. Authority is God's plan to protect his people. People come up under authority of the word of God. Next thing you know, the curse starts running out. So God set up a family, and success in marriage starts with the recognition that it's God who created the rules. You didn't make the rules because you didn't make you. All right. Now, this man was connected to God. So now you're finding out many times what's causing a bad marriage. Maybe it could be a spiritual disconnection notice. Somebody's disconnected. Now, you got that a lot because the men try to send the women to church. I'm not saying that's in here, but it's somebody listening to me over. Yeah, okay. Now, let's go back to Genesis in chapter 3. So here comes Satan now. And Satan is coming to try to take over God's creation. But he's got to get to the foundation, because he's read the scripture. If the foundation be destroyed, come on, what can the righteous do? So here he comes after Eve. Now Eve is listening to another voice. So now you know there are at least two voices speaking. God never created mankind to be sovereign. He needs an overlord. So now here comes Satan. He's now subtly coming in the garden. He begins to ask Eve things. Now understand, Eve wasn't there when Adam got told the plan for the earth, because she wasn't the foundation, nor was she the head. Listen, women, it's going to get good. Just hold on just a minute, please. I got to take you back to where this thing is made, see? Because as we go on in time, Babylon is taking this thing further and further out. God knows he is the one who called the male the head. I didn't. And you can't fool him. You can't cut your hair short and try to build up some muscles to try to fool. You can't fool it. Can I just get down with this thing? This, he knows who a man is. I don't care what people call themselves, he knows who a man, male man is. Say amen to that. Now, y'all don't mind if I just come on out and tell you. And I'm not downing anybody, cause we, I'm believing that we gon' whatever's crooked, we gon' straighten it up. All right. So here is this man, woman. She's being tempted. She eats of the fruit and gives it to Adam, who was with her, and he did eat. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. Hold your hand right there. I'm coming right back. First Timothy chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. Better start at verse 13, because I don't want to start nothing. Verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Got it? And Adam was what? Say it. Come on, you better say it. He was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So who was not deceived? Adam. See, God holds a man responsible for that house. I don't care. Now, you're going to see that in just a minute. And men, he's giving you what you need to be a husband. Got it? He's giving you every property that you need. You can discern stuff. That's why men are not emotional. Nope. Nope. Adam could have said, take that snake purse back down there to Saks. We ain't charging nothing there. No, but he didn't say anything. He just let it happen. See? So he was ahead, but he was a deadhead. No, come on. But anyway, so he wasn't providing his headship responsibility. Now God comes in. Once they've fallen, they ran and hid from God. Now understand, the man was made for God's presence. That's why the man's supposed to be the one that makes sure prayer goes on in the home, so forth and so on. He's supposed to make sure of that. Okay? Now, here, God comes in the garden. And look what it said in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the what? From the what? Is that up there on the board? Come on. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Put it up on the board, please. Do you all have it? Okay. And hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and God amongst the trees of the garden. Okay. So he hid himself in the presence of the Lord. And Lord God called Adam and said to him, where art thou? All right, now what is he talking about? Where art thou? He is talking about his headship. Now understand, you can't have two heads. Two heads is what I call a freak. You can't have two heads in a church. You can't have two heads in terms of the president of a nation. You can't have two heads. You can't have two heads. Got it? Not two heads. Christ is the head of the church. Just like in the marriage, the man is the head of the wife. Now that is not a bad thing. That's a good thing, women. Because he's got to make sure that all your needs are taken care of. He's got to, come on now. There are some responsibilities that he picks up with that. So notice the first thing God comes to is not the woman. Because she's not the foundation, she's not the head, nor is she responsible for this family. Now, she's responsible to a degree as far as her authority is concerned, but he's overall responsible. Adam, where are you? See, he had fallen from his place. Now, this Adam began to put it on Eve. See, and the first sign or visible sign of the curse was selfishness. We call it self-defense. Defending ourselves. We got an excuse for everything we did. And notice what happened next is that he goes on down, she accuses Satan, and then God begins to announce the curse. Now, a couple more things about Adam. In chapter 2, come on back over there with me again. It said in verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Now, it says that, verse 18, pardon me. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man, that the man should be what? Alone. All right. Now, did Adam know he was alone? No, he didn't know it. See, God had to say that. Adam didn't know it. But God realized that the man needed help. Adam was not looking for a wife. He was busy taking care of garden business. He was occupied with the idea of dominating this earth, replenishing it, so forth and so on. Now, notice God's His wife was God's idea. And God, I'll say it again. Adam was all one. He wasn't lonely. He was just alone. And when people let that loneliness thing take over, they end up grabbing at something that's not right for them because they feel so lonely. But if you get busy taking care of dominating business, replenishing business, come on, subduing business, God will be your husband while you're doing that. I really believe that. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Man, this time is goes. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Let me know when you get there. All right. I'm going to read that whether you're there or not. It should be up on the board. Verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body or what man you want to come into your life. I added that myself. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, come on, and all these spouses shall be added unto you. Just make your request known to God. And don't spend all this time trying to find a mate. Because now faith is not working. And when faith doesn't work, God is not connected. So don't run to church looking. Oh, I'm messing with you now. I got that. Checking out somebody. If it's for you, God will bring them to you. But why don't you just take care of the Lord's business for right now? Now, this is mostly coming together. And this woman now is becoming a helpmeet. Helpmeet. Now, the word is helpmate. But let's just look at that for a minute. Turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Hallelujah. I said 127. Psalm 121. Are you with me? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. All right. A woman likes to help. She is the helper in sharing dominion in this earth. God gave a man dominion over fish and birds and all that, but not a woman. He asked that the woman submit herself. That is not something that she is commanded to, Lord have mercy. It's something that she voluntarily does under the command of the word. Now, this role of a woman is something God built in her. And it makes her a perfect match for males in fulfilling God's purpose for that family. And it's not just somebody who's helping you. It means literally fit, F-I-T, something compatible or comparable. And the woman, God gave them the name help. And as I looked at this scripture, I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. This help is talking about God. Am I right about it? I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. It's talking about God, isn't it? That help is the same word in the Hebrew that God calls the woman. She is a helpmeet. Now, what I'm saying is, she is still helping. Whether she is more educated, make more money, whatever it is, she's still, the man is still the head. You're not the head because you make more money. Now let me go back and reset something. Remember, just because it's a male or a female, neither one is more important. You got to understand that now. They just have different functions. He's got to have some help. You'll find that women who are not able to help at home, help at church. The reason why is this help thing is on them. They got to help somewhere. That is a fact. They love to help. They love to do things and get involved and so forth and so on. Now, I'm saying, this man was not voted on to be the head. He was called by God to be the head. And he is not the one responsible for him being chosen. God chose him. And he cannot run from that responsibility. Now, I don't care how heavy the weight get, he needs to know that there is a way out. You better hear what I'm saying here now. So the woman needs to pray for him and encourage him. Look at Job, real quick. We're going to finish this up. Lord have mercy. Job chapter 14. Are y'all with me? See, I haven't gone on to the children and gone on to that because you need to get the head and the help right first. Because if you don't have that right, you don't have it. Now understand, we had different images of what marriages should look like. And that's why many marriages didn't work, because the image that we had was the wrong image. And what you need to do is understand that this man should be treating this woman like a queen. See, all you got to do is look how Jesus treats you. He loves you, say amen to that. When you ask for forgiveness, he doesn't remember it and bring it back up again. Next, am I right about it? I'm just saying this man is, you know, I'm learning it. As I'm preaching this, I'm learning something. My wife and I went somewhere last night and she said, sweetheart, are you gonna hold my hand? I said, oh yeah, baby. Yeah. Me and you. Cause sometimes I just kind of run on off, you know, cause I'm working on man stuff, you know what I mean? But she is by my side, not under my feet. She, and hold it, you got the other side, which you got a Jezebel. Oh Lord have mercy. And a Jezebel is after the head too. See, men, because I'm held accountable for my family, then Jesus is my head. So if I've got a situation, he's got to help me with it because he's accountable for me. So I can go to him because the answer was here before I ever had a problem. And I can go to him and call out and say, hey, I need some answers here. That this thing, I'm telling you, I did it. I won't disclose it because it's personal, having to deal with, you know, some of my kids. But I said, hey, I need some answers here. I said this, and he told me exactly what to do. And he said, now it's going to cost you a little bit more money, but just I'll take care of the money. You just go ahead and do this. Yes. Boom, 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 boom. Worked. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes. Kids came right on in, yes, serving God. Yes. Now, I'm just saying, many times we're trying to do it without God. Yes. But wait a minute. He's your source. And my wife, she can get under the anointing. And she can, with that anointing, not step out from under my headship, but also speak from a head point of view. Yes. In other words, here I was down in seminary, and I'd roll in too many classes, and went to some of these classes, and these Greek words were a mile long, look like, and I'm here trying to figure out, now how am I going to make a good grade in these classes? Lord have mercy. And I was kind of toiling with it. And this is what she said. She said, sweetheart, I was in prayer and God told me to tell you. Now see, God told me to tell you. Yes. Yes. See, God told me to tell you. He told me to tell you, study 3 hours a day, you'll make the grades you want. And you know what? Boom, that thing hit my spirit. I said, man, that's God. How many of you know men, sometimes your wife sounds just like God? I said, man, that's God. I studied 3 hours a day, boom, made the things I made. Notice what happened. He took my help, yes, to help me, yes, out of this situation, yes, that I was in, because I was overcome by anxiety, yes, and wouldn't listen to him. Yes. So he took my help, yes, moved her out for a minute, made her prophesy into my life, and then moved her back in there. Say amen to that. Yes. I know some of y'all don't like this. He said don't like this. Listen, you need help, men.
Amen.
Jesus. Boy, I'm telling you, this is a tough bunch right here. All right, but understand, there's an order. All right, let me just show you one more thing. We'll be done. Turn with me to Galatians, in Galatians chapter, wait a minute. I had you at Job, didn't I? We don't have time. We got to get out of here. Lord have mercy. Give you the scripture. Okay. Rachel stole her father's gods. Rachel was Jacob's wife. Jacob left, but Rachel stole the gods. Let me just show you this. Look at Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Oh, this time goes by. Y'all don't know. I just want to slow down and just give you all of it. Genesis chapter 31, if you will. Can you get it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Laban finally caught up with Jacob because he rode off with two of his wives and everything. And look at verse 30. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone because thou sore longeth after thy father's house, yet wherefore have you stolen my what? My gods. Watch what Jacob says. Verse 32. Whoever, with whomsoever thou findest a god, let him not live. Wow. Coming over to Genesis chapter 35, verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrathah. And Rachel travailed, and she gave hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father renamed him Benjamin. Interesting. And I think that was only saying that she kind of got out from under authority. That one of the reasons for authority is to protect. That we're to stay under authority of God, because that's where the protection is. I don't care how bad it looked, stay under it. But notice what she did. She kind of moved out. And she did something that wasn't sanctioned by her husband. And she took that God, and her husband loosed a word because he didn't know she had it. He said, whoever took that God, let him die. He didn't know it, but he was cursing his wife. And while she was trying to have a baby, she died. And I'm saying the words that you speak are very important. But understand, authority is God's plan to protect his people.
Amen.
Whether you're in churches, whether you're anywhere, it's good to stay under authority. I hate to end on that note. Can you give the Lord a praise? Now, what I was going to show you in that Job is this. No matter how bad your situation, if you just take that, start at verse 14, and pour a little word on it.